Shree, the seventh chapter. All of Yesh Tumas Minamation and Azamagalachalayim Vlososus, the Kogmim. There are certain forms of Tumah of the dead. The Nazi doesn't have to cut his hair off for, nor undo the previous days. Vabishin is prevent Tumah Shiva, even though he is Tumah for 7 days. Vishlonerma Bavchi Yitmel Nefesh doesn't say if he defiles himself to a soul. Alavachi Yamus Mesolov. Rather, it says in the Pasuk if someone dies upon him. Yitmel Tumah Shema Atzvashal Mes. The Tumah has to be from the body of the Mes himself. As will be explained. Then, in that, those circumstances, he brings sacrifices of Tumah. He got off the glach of Tumah and he cuts his hair off with the laws of Tumah. And then the first days fall. The following are the Tumahs of the dead for which another has to shave. On a dead fetus, even if the limbs were not bound together yet with the sinews. That is to say, the limbs of the fetus are formed already. Vakazayis mitzar meis, on the size of an olive of the flesh of the dead. Vakazayis netzal, and on a size of an olive of putrid flesh. Vatzamashin rov minyan vatzamas, on the bones, if they are the majority of the number of the bones. Apishin bahen rov akav, even though they do not have the measurement of one quarter of a kav. If it would not have most of the bones, it would have to have that minimum measurement of a quarter of a kav. The bones that are the majority of the size of the dead, even not majority in number, even though they do not have a quarter of a kav. On one half a kav of bones, even though they have neither the majority of the size nor of the number. Provided that all of them are from one dead person and not from two. The spine of one dead person, the skull of one dead person, and on the limb of a dead person that comes from one person. On the flesh from a living person. That has enough meat on it that it could have healed if it would be attached to the living person. And a half a log of blood that comes from one dead person. And on two handfuls of the rot of the dead, that's like the dust of the dead body. Is there netzal? What is we referred to before as netzal? That's the putrid flesh of the dead. The dust of the dead is not mitame unless he's buried without any clothing, so there's no material mixed into it, and in a coffin of marble where the dust is not from the coffin itself because the marble doesn't rot. And the body has to be whole, an entire body. If he was missing a limb or buried in his clothing, if he became tummy to a quarter of a kav of bones that come from the spinal cord or the skull, he was tummy in an ohel, he was in the same tent with them, so raise yourself a tummy, there's a question of tumah in this case. Even though we said before that a nazir is not matame except for a half of a kav, still, since these bones are particularly significant, the skull and the spinal cord, therefore there's a question. Perhaps it is tame, even though there's only a quarter. Hey, kalelo shtei mesrei tumah shemaninu. We've listed 12 forms of tumah. Im naga nazir b'achas mehen nesah ohel al nazir leha. If the nazir touched any one of them, carried them, was in the same tent as them, ohel a tumah la nazir, or the tumah was over the nazir, was a tent upon the nazir. Or the nazir and one of these tumahs was in the same tent. In other words, either the nazir put his hand over it, or the mace was over the nazir, or they were both in the same tent. Then he has to cut his hair in the state of tumah, maybe carbon tumah, and he has to bring the sacrifice of tumah. The selfless sakali has to undo all that he did so far. Except for the dust of the dead that isn't tamed by touching, he can't touch all of it, for it is not one body. In other words, it's not one chunk. It's the whole body, but it's spread out in the form of dust. But if he carried it, or was tummy in the tent with it, then he does have to shave his hair off. If an azir touched a bone of the dead, even a bone the size of a barley kernel, or carried it, then he has to cut his hair for it, to bring sacrifices of tumah, and undo the previous days. However, a bone the size of a barley does not render him tameh by being in the same tent. But if he became tameh with one of the 12 things listed right now, the Gush Eretz HaGoyim, in the earth of the non-Jewish lands, of the Sadish Nefesh Kevin Betocha, Shemitameh Magav Amasa, or in a field in which a grave was plowed, which is tameh by touching or carrying, Shehel Olav, or if he was over such a field, Falasarigim Yotzimin Uelanos, and over the branches that come out of a tree, or Prosiotz Minagoder, or the rocks that come out of a gate. In other words, the branches or the rocks were an ohel, were on top of both him and part of the mace. So by Torah law, this is not an ohel, since it isn't a tefach in size, which would constitute the minimum of an ohel by Torah law. O mita o gomo ukiyotivo, or there was the kezias of the dead person under the bed or under the camel, together with the nazir, which is also talmid by rabbinic law. Who is talmid by being in the same tent as a quarter of a kav of bones that do not have the majority of the size or number of the dead person. So he was talmid with a quarter of a log of blood of the dead, which is talmid by touching or carrying or being in the same tent as. Or if he became tamei by touching the covering of the coffin, over dofek, or the side of the coffin, shemitama b'maga over ohel, they render one tamei by touching or by being in the same tent. Or if he was became tamei by touching the limb of the living or of the dead that does not have an adequate amount of flesh on it, in all of these cases he does not undo his count. Zayin afishu cholelo tamei to meshiva masa b'shvishi b'shvi. Even though in the aforementioned 12 cases he's tamei for 7 days, he has to sprinkle on the third and the seventh with the paraduma. In the galayas glass of tumah, he doesn't have to cut off his hair in the laws of tumah. Lamevi kabanas, he doesn't have to bring sacrifices. Lososius kodman, he doesn't have to undo the previous days. Avokali mei tumah in olam minyim in nizirus. However, the days of tumah don't count for the days of his nizirus. Ches nagabol a mace, if he touched the tent of the dead, a bekelim and ogum of mace, or the vessels that touch the dead, in a mazav shishi b'shvi, he doesn't even have to sprinkle on the third and seventh day. The lawyer said if a vessel touches the dead, according to the Rambam, any vessel renders a person tamei too. The Yerusha didn't have yuch b'nazir. However, I think, says the Rambam, that this applies only especially to a nazir. Of a kolodim shnitz of a kelim to meshiva, a regular person who became tamei by touching a vessel that touched the dead for 7 days, Yazab Ashishi Bashvi does have to sprinkle on the third and seventh day, which is brother of Tumas Meis, as will be explained in the laws of Tumas Meis. And Yerusha Zainu Mazab Ashishi Bashvi and Naga Bakalim, Ishialalo Yume Tumasa Bakli, Miminyan Yume Zeruso. And it also appears to me that the reason that he doesn't sprinkle on the third and the seventh day, if he touches the vessels, so that you can count the days of Tumah through the vessels as part of the number of the days of his Nazirus. Test Nazishin Sar, Behochlat Nazir that became a leper and was put away, Kol Yimei Chaluto, all of the days in which he's put away, the Shivat Yimei Sviro, and then the 7 days, Shesofar Chashiyato Mitzirato, that he counts after being purified, between the first cutting of his hair of the leper and the second, in Alalom Yimei Nazirus, so that doesn't count for the days of his Nazirus. Avimeheska Onulo, but the days of his lockup, when he's in quarantine, they do count. Similarly, if there was a flow from his flesh, whether man or woman, the days of the flow does count. Even though they're tamei, and this matter is halacha for Moshe from Mount Sinai. Yod and Sarach Lama Shenitma Nazir B'Shar Tumos Shemei tumah sa'olalo v'inasos ha'klom. It goes without saying that if a nazir became tumah with any other forms of tumah, that the days of his tumah count for him, and he doesn't undo any of the previous days of nazirus. Nizma v'meis v'tochum yitzirato, sosa is kol ha'kodman. Or if he became tumah with the dead in the days of his leprosy, that he does undo all of the previous days, shem nizra sa'ame, because he's still a nazir, afishu tumah, even though he's tumah as a leper. A nazir is allowed to defile himself for the mitzvah of burying the dead. The glachos mitzvah, similarly, he's allowed to cut off his hair in the case of that is a mitzvah, as we shall see. However, he's forbidden to drink the wine of the mitzvah, just like the wine that is permitted. They're equally forbidden, just like ordinary wine and mitzvah wine. If a person swore that he would drink wine today, then it's a mitzvah for him to drink the wine, not a benazir. Then he made a promise to be a nazir. So the nazirus applies to the oath, and therefore he's not allowed to drink the wine. It goes without saying that he cannot drink the wine of Kiddush or Havdalah, which is only a rabbinic law in the first place. What is the law that he is permitted in the tumah of a burying the dead, which is a mitzvah? He was going on the road and he met a dead body. There's nobody else there to bury him. He's a matamala over cover. He can make himself tummy to this body and bury it. These words are a tradition. If a nazir and a kohen both came across a meis mitzvah, Tama Nazir, so the Nazir, it's a question who should deal with the dead, so the Nazir should. Even though he has to undo the previous days to bring a sacrifice for Tumah. The Tama Kohen, and let the Kohen not make himself Tumah. Because the Nazir's Kedusha, his holiness is only temporary, as opposed to the Kohen's. But Filahai Nazir Olam, even if he was a Nazir forever, the Kohen Kedusha Kedusha Solam, whereas the Kohen, his sanctity is forever. In other words, even though this particular nazir is forever, but nazirus in general is a temporary thing. If two nazir met the dead body, which is the mitzvah to bury, one is a nazir for 30 days, one for 100. The one who is for 30 days should make himself tamei. If one was a nazir for a limited time, the other one was a nazir forever, yitama nazir l'zman katzov, let the nazir who is for a set time make himself tamei, because the one who is a nazir forever, his holiness is greater. So what is the case in which you can cut his hair for a mitzvah? The nazir who got leprosy was cured in the days of his nazirus. It's called sorrow. He may cut all of his hair. For the cutting of his hair is a positive commandment. It says concerning the mitzara, the gilach is called sa'aro. He should cut all of his hair. Wherever you find both a positive and a negative commandment, if you can fulfill both of them, good. If not, so the positive commandment pushes aside the negative one. Now, you're going to say, okay, he should cut his hair because the positive commandment of cutting the hair supersedes the negative one of not cutting it for another. But you're going to ask another that has both a positive and a negative one. Shemer, it says, Kodesh Yagadol Peres HaRosh, he should be holy and let his hair grow wild, so that's a positive commandment. We never say that a positive commandment pushes aside both a positive and a negative. Here there's a positive one as well as a negative one. Therefore, why does the positive commandment of cutting the hair of the leper push aside the nazirus? The answer is because the nazir is tummy anyway, because due to his leprosy. And the days of his being quarantined as a nazir doesn't count for him anyway. Which, as we've explained previously, and he's not holy on these days in any case. And the positive commandment is automatically nullified by itself. All that is left is the negative commandment, which is that a razor should not pass over his head. Therefore, the positive commandment of cutting the hair for the leper comes, and pushes aside the negative commandment of the nazir not cutting his hair.